What I want to dig into is like, how do we respond to this now? We've talked about the global youth culture, the lies of the culture, how the gospel responds to those lies. And now getting really practical, I want to look into three things. How can we get to know the culture? Or in our mission, we say, get to know the scene in your city. If you're present in a place, how can you get to know the cultural scene or the young adult, the young professional, the student or the youth scene of your city? Second, how can I speak truth into that scene, into that culture? How can I make the gospel present and clear in that environment? And then third, how do I make disciples? How do I start engaging people in a meaningful way so that it leads to long-term impact, to long-term fruit? Some of the things we've been thinking about when we look at the reality of the youth culture around us and some of the lies I was sharing in the first session is that we need to make the gospel very clear and bold and present for a generation that hasn't had the chance to hear. And you might remember at the end of the video I showed before, there was that question, how can they know? And we found that the more we can go to them, instead of waiting for them to come to us, we can be present, connect in a creative and an edgy way, in a way that's relevant to the global youth culture around us, but in a bold and clear way, in a way that we're really showing people who Jesus is and we're sharing the gospel in an open way. So as Yelta said in the video, we're praying for a new Jesus revolution, and some of that sometimes looks like a revolution. So some of our teams organize protests in cities around Europe. You know, a lot of young people today like going to the streets to protest, and they're not sure often what they're protesting for. So we decided to do a protest too. And we do a protest against the lies of secular culture and materialism and emptiness and loneliness and depression. And we go out on the streets and we say, no more lies. It's time to change. It's time to find another way. And so Michael here from Norway, who was in the video, organized a protest like this all through the streets of Oslo and landed in front of Parliament Square in Oslo, gathered hundreds of young people and started preaching. He had some music going and a band playing. Then he started preaching and telling people how they could know more about who they really are and how they're not an accident and how there's more to life than this. Or we go into Dresden and we ask questions about life and death and what is life really about. Or we walk into the center of the city with a coffin and we put it down, and then hundreds of people are gathering and say, what is going on? Why have these guys carried a coffin into the middle of atheist Dresden? And then somebody jumps out of the coffin and starts yelling, and people come running, sometimes to us, sometimes away from us. And then we start sharing and telling people who Jesus is and that this city killed me with its lies, but I can know God and God makes me alive again. And you might say, you know, that's just not right. You might say that's weird and that's wrong and that's you can't talk about this in ELF, okay? That's not okay. But I would answer by saying we did not come up with the coffin idea. This was originally done by William Booth in the 19th century, okay? He came up with the idea of the coffin, so there's nothing new there. But it's also very relational. It's about connecting with people one-on-one and really having deep conversations like we were talking about before. It's about meeting people where they're at and offering prayer and asking them how they're feeling and what's going on in their lives and inviting them to a next step and saying, hey, do you want to meet us again tomorrow? Do you want to hang out? You want to come? We're going to meet in this cafe tomorrow and we're going to have a Bible study for the non-religious. Or we have a home here in the center of the city and you're welcome. We're going to be doing a meal tomorrow and everybody's welcome. Come and join us. And so that way we're seeing something happening in cities all around the world and across Europe. So as you saw in a video, you know, in London, we've got a team there and there's lots of cool new things happening. Dresden, Germany. These are the guys from the Steiger Mission School going and walking through the city with black tape over their mouths and talking about how we're being silenced and how we don't have the chance to really talk about things that really matter. This is in Amsterdam in the Netherlands, right in the central square, doing a creative kind of edgy graffiti slash performance and connecting with people, or in Wrocław, just down the road from here, or in Krakow, also just down the road. This event happened during Revive Europe, which was a large conference over the New Year's Eve for university students. And so we invited people to go out on the streets with us. Over 2 days, around 400 university students from all over Europe came to the center of Krakow with us, and we did a big action. This was kind of fun because the theme of that conference was prepare the way. Okay, it was about that passage of Elijah preparing the way. And so we said, we're going to go to the center of the city and we're going to put on some public worship and we're going to share the gospel on the main square. And my wife was leading this. And so she arrived on a street that walks towards the main square. And when she arrived, the police were there waiting for us. And she thought, oh no, we're in trouble. So she went and talked to the police and said, is everything okay? And they said, yes, we're here to prepare the way for you. So we thought, oh, that's awesome. That's the theme of our conference. See, here's something we found out. And you might go, oh, you can't do this kind of thing. People don't, you know, it's not accepted. The secular culture doesn't accept people talking about Jesus on the streets. Well, yeah, but you see, secular culture, especially Western European countries, say that you have to have the right of freedom of speech, right? So you have to have the right to protest about anything. And so we found that if we register a demonstration, which is a much better description of what we do than a religious service or something like that. If we say we're going to do a religious meeting in the streets and we do this, they're like, that is not a religious meeting. What are you doing? But if we say we're doing a demonstration, then the police go, oh, yeah, yeah, that's definitely what you guys are doing. And so we register a demonstration and the police, they have to say yes in most countries, Poland, Germany, Netherlands, Sweden, you know, most countries by law, they have to say yes, that you're doing a demonstration. So they prepared the way for us and we marched with the police driving their cars in front of us and we went to the central square and we had an amazing time with hundreds of international students, me in Krakow, near to New Year's Eve. And we invited people to come back to the conference with us. And we counted 83 non-believers coming to the conference that evening just because they had a conversation with somebody on the streets and getting to hear the gospel in that event later in the evening. And one story that hit me was a girl, a student from China who was studying in Krakow and heard about Jesus for the first time through that action and came to the conference that evening and spent the day with us and continues in contact with some of the girls on our team. So it's just amazing to see these moments that can be created when we go to where people are. You heard about Cluj-Napoca, Romania. On the video, there's great stuff happening across Romania. The team in Oslo running a Bible study in a pub that where everybody in the Bible study are either atheists or agnostics. And they're sitting around and having a conversation about the Bible, many of them for the first time reading scripture and having it impact their lives. So, in fact, the last time I went to visit, there's Michael who leads the team. I said, hey, Michael, we're going to go share in the YWAM base and invite people to come join us. And he said, that's great, I'll come with you. And he said, but the problem is I have the Bible study tonight and I really don't want to cancel it. It's such a good time. I really would like to do it. And he told one of the guys who's very regular that he wasn't going to be able to come. And the guy said, is it okay if I still have the meeting because everybody wants to come? And he said, yeah, that's fine. Now, this guy wasn't a Christian. Okay, so he goes, can you give me the material and I'll try to run the conversation without you? So a bunch of atheists and agnostics read the Bible that evening and talked about it without any believer being there to talk to them. So it's interesting. Sometimes these things happen. This is all centered around a mission school. Okay, so we have a mission school in East Germany near Dresden. And we have around 150 people in their 20s coming every year and getting inspired to reach their peers, to reach this generation. There's around 30, 35 nationalities usually represented, and they're from all around the world. And our curriculum is quite simple. We go through six values. We talk about what is the global youth culture and how to go out and share the gospel with them. And we say you start by seeking God with all your heart. It's written on the wall there. You seek God, cry out to him for your city, pray that he would move in our times. Then you say, you ask him, God, what can I do? And then you need the courage to go and do whatever he tells you to do. So we teach courage, think outside the box, have the faith and the courage to do whatever God calls you to do. Go preach the cross. The message is clear. It's the message of the cross, but do it with relevance. Do it in a way that people can understand. When you go into dark places, go to be holy in that place, to be like Jesus. So you go to influence the culture rather than be influenced by it. Holiness and family. We believe that sharing the gospel is not an idea that many often we have is that it's the lone wolf evangelist. Yeah, the crazy evangelist is going to go out and preach. We say no, we all go together We go together as a team. We invite our local church. We go out together. Let's go and engage the next generation as a family, as a church family, and as a team. So we plant teams in cities around the world. And most of these guys and girls, this was the group from last year, they go back to their own cities and they start something new. They go back to their own home churches and they say, guys, let's do something to go out and reach people. Let's start some discipleship for people that wouldn't usually walk into a church. And that way, it's been spreading all around the world and planting teams all across Europe, North and South America, Eurasia. We don't have anything in Africa yet, but that's starting to change this year. And also there's new things starting up in East Asia. And but that's what's happening right now. We say that we mobilize followers of Jesus to reach young people who wouldn't walk into a church. It's that whole concept of, I'm not gonna wait till they come to us, we're gonna go to them. And let me lay out, we summarize it in three actions. We mobilize the next generation of leaders and influencers to impact secular culture. So it's about calling young believers in churches to go out to people who are lost. It's then long-term. It's got to be long-term. I mean, a lot of the stories I tell can give you the idea that like, oh, it's this kind of short-term impact stuff. You go to a festival, you do a show. But what we're really investing in is a long-term presence in a city where these things are happening every week, where people are either going to the streets or organizing an event in a club or a cultural center or a university or running a Bible study in a cafe or in a pub. And they're engaging the church and saying, let's go out to people and invite people into a relationship and a community. And so, yeah, it's about training the church to reach secular culture. So that's the context of what we're working on. And what I want to dig into is this. What do we mean by get to know the culture, speak truth into the culture, and make disciples in secular culture? And we do this in the context of a team that's long-term, as I said, and we say we need to raise up for this generation dynamic missionary teams that are specialists in reaching secular culture, that know the culture of their city and can reach into it. And we teach these teams those three things: get to know the culture, speak truth into the culture, make disciples in the culture. And so the first point, know the scene. We talk a lot about the importance of building relationships, right? How can we really connect with people around us? And we talked a little about this in the Q&A before, but going and just being present is the first thing, right? It's going to places where people are. So we'll say to our teams around the world, hey, start with, go do a prayer walk around your city. Go to the clubbing neighborhood of your city. Go to the main square or to the park. Where is it people hang out? Where are the students hanging out? Where are the young professionals hanging out? Go and spend some time there. Go and pray. Go and talk to people. Go and listen to them. Another thing we teach a lot is, can you find ways through events or pure just one-on-one conversations or interviews with a camera or anything that you can find creatively to ask good questions? How can I get to know what people are thinking if I'm not asking them the right questions and listening to them? And sometimes when we go about saying, oh, I need to understand secular culture and reach the culture, we start with the books, when actually it's, I think that you learn a lot more by going and having conversations with people and asking them, what do you believe? What's going on in your life? How do you respond to faith, to Jesus, to God? And so you just find out so much by doing that. I mean, you can be creative with that. You can go, okay, let's do a survey of our neighborhood. Let's find out what people think. Asking good questions. That then affects our communication, right? So if I, like I was saying before, when I worked through those seven lies, what are the seven lies of the culture? It affects how I can then share the gospel. It creates communication that is relevant. New ideas, creative ideas are sparked from first listening. So what we find, I mean, you take the example I gave of Michael in Oslo doing a protest through the streets. Well, where did that come from? Well, he started by going and asking questions, and we're having these conversations in the mission about, wow, look at these ideas that secular culture believes and what many people are believing around us. And he's like, he called me up one day and he goes, I feel angry about the way people feel and the ideas they're being told. I want to do a protest against that. And I was like, that's a great idea. You know, so it's when you're listening and feeling the culture around you, God gives us ideas. And so he was like, let's do a protest. And it became a super relevant thing. it makes me think, you know, speaking of relevance, and somebody asked, I think you asked about social media. Or was it you? You asked about that, yeah, about online stuff. Sometimes if you spark something clear in the culture, it has repercussions online, and then it can have effects. So when Michael did that protest in Oslo, we had an event organized in Glasgow, Scotland, a few months later. And so when we went to organize this thing in Glasgow, the guys in Glasgow said, hey, we saw that thing you did in Oslo. Can we try it here too? And they're like, yeah, sure, let's go for it. So they organized a protest going through Glasgow. And apparently Glasgow's, they're used to protest there. They kind of like it. They really get into the whole vibe. And there's often protests there on a Saturday. And so our team did this massive protest through Glasgow against the lies and making a lot of noise. And people were running around them with phones and filming this and going, what is going on? There's this protest. And then we land in one place and share the gospel and have conversations. Well, a few days later, it turned out somebody spotted this video that somebody had shared on TikTok. Okay, so a guy who was filming it put it on his TikTok. Now, this guy didn't have many followers. His tag, his name was Fast Living Sin Soaked Heathen. That was his tag on TikTok, okay? And so I think he posted the video for not the kind of reasons we'd want. You know, I think he's trying to be like, look at these Christians, look at what they're doing, you know? So he posted this video of this lively, dynamic group of young guys and girls marching through Glasgow talking about God loves you, you know? And he puts this video on TikTok and it goes viral. It goes, like, now I think it's over 600,000 or 700,000 views on TikTok, and I can't remember how many on Instagram, and 5,000 comments. And when you read through the comments, it's so fun because it's like one person is going like, what are the Christians doing out on the streets? They should be in the churches. And I'm like, yeah, come on. And then there's this atheist going like, well, I'm an atheist, but this is kind of refreshing. You know, often the protests we have around here are not like that. And then somebody else is saying like, yeah, if they were half naked and talking about free love, you guys would be all for it. But just because they're well-dressed, nice Christians marching through the city, now that's where you draw the line, you know? And they're having all these debates and somebody else is going, well, I don't believe in God, but I like the message. It's a positive message. It's good. But why am I saying this? It's bringing it into the public sphere. It's making some noise. It's connecting with a generation. And they're going, wow, I've never really heard somebody talk about Jesus like that. And so I think we need a little bit more of that engaging. Partnership in the scene. We teach our teams, guys, if you're going to do an event and you want to reach non-believers, you want to connect with non-believers, don't do it in the Christian circuit, in the Christian environment, right? If you do it in your church and you invite a Christian band or a worship band, and then you have a famous preacher that all the Christians know, the non-Christians aren't going to know that. And you know, it sounds obvious, but that's how we often do our evangelistic events, right? We say it's an evangelistic night, and then we put on something and we hope the non-believers will come, and we tell people, invite your friends. And that's good. We should always invite our friends to church. But you're not going to reach a lot of non-Christians that way. So we tell our teams, Cluj-Napoca, Romania, for example, guys, rent the most known nightclub in the center of your city. Book a bunch of bands, some of them Christians, some of them not, and connect and work together and create an event. And what happens? You get a club full of non-believing young people who have never heard the gospel before. And then you get our team clearly sharing the gospel on the stage. And we call that partnership with the scene. You go into the scene, you connect with people, you're at the same level, and you say, let's do something together. Let's reach our city. And you build relationships, and you connect with people outside the church. It can't stop just at the relationships and at being present and asking good questions. We need to be bold to share Jesus, to speak the truth of the gospel. So we're connecting with people's questions and their spiritual hunger. We're pointing them to Jesus. We're finding ways to preach the message of the cross in a clear way. And we want them to experience God's presence. And, you know, again, there's so many ways that you can find to do that. But when we're present in the scene and listening to people and praying, God, give me ideas to share the gospel, ideas come. And so many of the things we do are really icebreakers to open up the conversations so that we can go deeper and share about Jesus. I've given some examples here. We have bands and artists that are finding creative ways of sharing gospel, sharing the gospel. We're doing protests on the streets. We use a lot of, if you have a look at this afterwards, we use a lot of creative interactions on the streets with signs and with simple stuff. Like we put two jars on a table and it says, take and leave. And we say, guys, we're doing a social interaction here. You can come and take something from the take jar and you can leave something that you don't want in your life anymore. And so people will come up and if there's permission for fire, it depends on the country, we'll have a bowl with fire in it and we'll say, write something you don't want in your life anymore and throw it in the fire, burn it. And so people will come up and they'll be, oh, that's awesome. I want to, you know, and they'll write stuff down and they'll throw it in the fire. And then they'll take something from the take jar and it's usually a Bible passage. It may be the first time they're reading a Bible passage. And it's amazing how often God will move in a way where what they left behind and what they take is connected somehow. And they're like, wow, that's crazy. You know, God is speaking to me somehow. And it opens the door for conversations. And you can ask, would you like to share with me what you left, what you threw away? I mean, it's something so simple, but it's an icebreaker of connecting with people who I may not have talked to otherwise. And a way of then sharing the gospel with them. People sometimes ask us, okay, what methodology do you use to share the gospel? Do you use the four spiritual laws? Or do you use the four, right? That's a more modern way of doing it, right? Or do you use the Jesus at the door? Or there's lots of methodologies. And what we encourage our teams is, hey, there's lots we can learn from these different tools, but don't have a methodology you always follow. Because who knows what that conversation is going to be like. Be authentic. Go and meet people, have a conversation, and see where it goes. Maybe it leads to the historicity of Jesus. Maybe it leads to questions around science. Maybe it leads... So if I'm having a conversation, I need to ask God to lead me in that, and I'll use whatever tool or way I have to share the gospel. And it's more about preparing the team to know how to engage in deep spiritual conversations and share the gospel through that. And the last thing that we talk about is how do we take those next steps? What we say about discipleship is that it starts where you are, or it starts the moment you meet somebody new. And sometimes we really separate out going and sharing the gospel or evangelism from discipleship. And we see discipleship as something that happens the moment somebody walks into the church. Right? So we say, oh yeah, you go and you do evangelism. And then if they want to know more and they come to church on Sunday, then they can come to a discipleship group or they can come to something that you're organizing there. The problem with that, of course, is that a lot of the time, the guys and girls we're reaching are not just turning up at church the next Sunday. They're not ready to go to a Christianity Explored or Alpha course and all these amazing resources that we have. Many of these guys and girls, they're not ready for that yet. So what we teach our teams is, discipleship starts the moment you meet them. You've gone and done a street evangelism, you've done an event in a club or in a university and you've met somebody new. That relationship has begun, that discipleship has begun. And you see it as your responsibility to follow through and to walk with that person. And we teach our teams this. We say, guys, each one of us, as we're going and engaging with somebody new, it's your responsibility. How can you invite them to what's next? Hey, come and have a coffee with me tomorrow. Come and hang out at our community house this weekend. I want to talk to you more. Let's stay engaged. Welcoming people into the relationships and into the community before they're ready to walk into the church. Do we have enough moments of meeting and gathering outside the church program that new people feel welcome to come to? And you were asking about, can we change our churches? And I think we should. But also, there's a lot of the relationships and community that we can bring to people. Our team in Wrocław, we go during the summer, they'll go weekly to a park in the center of the city where all the university students hang out. And they're there every week, and sometimes they're doing bold evangelistic actions. Sometimes they're just sitting there and meeting and having time to hang out with people. and they'll run Bible studies there. And it's creating a space of community where those guys are before they're ready to go to the church. And for many of them, they need that for sometimes a few years of relationship and of hearing and engaging with the faith before they really understand what it's about. We get people involved in the action right from the beginning. We say, hey, come join us. Let's do something together. And we've often had that when we do events in clubs. We'll have non-believers come up to us and say, man, I love the way you guys are doing that. Your message is really strong and clear. Is it all right if I help you next time? We're like, yeah, sure, join in, join the team. Let's do something together. Young people, they need to feel like they can join in and be part of the action from the beginning. They don't, you know, and what we sometimes do in the church is we say, oh, great, some new person has come and they're sitting in the back. They're feeling kind of awkward. They feel like, man, I don't, what am I supposed to do? I don't know how to act here. And we say, oh, well, you go along to this course or that group, and that's for you. And then we say, and you need to sit and listen for a good few years before you're allowed to join in something, because you need to learn. You need to hear first, listen first. And often that kills that passion and that desire to get involved and to change something and to do something. So we found, you know, get people involved right from the beginning is important. We teach our teams we can reach as many as we can. Let's go out and reach the hundreds and the thousands and tell them about Jesus. But we also need to invest in the few. We need to walk with them and spend time and see who are the people that God is putting around me to really invest in with discipleship. And we emphasize the importance of teaching the Bible. So that's why we run Bible studies. So a couple of stories of what we're seeing happen just to exemplify those things. Diana from Serbia, Novi Sad, we met her when she was 19. She came to something like this. And afterwards she came up and said, hey, I really want to reach young people in my country, and we don't have anything like this. And God is calling me to do something like this in my city and in my country. And I want to start. And so she went to the mission school, and she went back to Novi Sad, and she started a team. And they started doing simple stuff on the streets. They came up with this idea. It's called The Greatest Masterpiece. And they would walk up to people in the street in Novi Sad, Serbia, and they would say, would you like to see the greatest masterpiece that's ever been invented or created? It's by the most amazing artist ever. Would you like to see this piece of art? And everybody's like, yeah, come on, what is it? And they open it up and it's a mirror, right? And it's amazing the reactions that they would get. You know, some people would just break down in tears right then and there if it was affecting something deep in them. Some people would be like, oh, ha, ha, very funny. You know, and some people would want to have a conversation. And it's just an opportunity to say, you are an amazing masterpiece. You are made by a loving creator, and just engaging with them. But she started going around and causing a bit of a revolution and calling young people in churches all around to go out and to share the gospel. She found artists and musicians to get involved. She started doing creative street actions, and she started inviting many young guys and girls to get involved across the Balkans. She went to Kosovo, to Bosnia, to Croatia, and started getting young people involved in that. And it's amazing to see what God can do when a young guy or girl says yes to him and says, I want to reach my generation. And you see them reaching their peers and going out and doing what God's called them to do. She, at one point when she said, hey, I want to go to Kosovo, we were saying, I don't know if that's a good idea. It's kind of complicated for a Serb to go to Kosovo. And she was single, 20-year-old when she wanted to do that. And she said, God is calling me to go there. I really want to go and spend time with people in Pristina. And she went and spent 4 months there, connected with young people in the churches, got them involved in evangelistic actions, and broke down barriers of division and of things caused by a decade of war. And it's just amazing to see the gospel breaking down those barriers. I've told you already about Michael. So there you go. There's his protest. Oh, one time he got one of his team members to get all chained up and to wear VR goggles. And then they had a sign that said, are we really free? And this guy's marching through the city with some weird music, and people are just gathering and they're having amazing conversations. Or they do exhibition in front of the main train station with some graffiti talking about human value. And they say, where does human value come from? And people are coming out of the train station, they're engaging with them in deep conversations there. and inviting them to their Bible study for the non-religious, and inviting churches across the city to get involved in what they're doing. One last example here. The team in Wrocław, they also do street evangelism, but they also go into the cultural centers and run events with artists, with musicians. They go to clubs, they organize concerts, they organize debates, conversations between, I think this one, yeah, it's a musician on the left there from Wrocław. And they do film discussions in clubs. Cool thing about this club is the owner became really good friends with my wife. And after they did this event, the owner, she said, "Hey, I really loved the event and the way you guys did it. Would you be willing to do the event in my other club?" And her other club was the only LGBT cafe in Wrocław. And my wife was like, "Are you sure?" Because we'd just been preaching Jesus on the stage. Like, "Are you sure you want to?" And she said, "Yeah, it was a really well done event. I loved the atmosphere and the way you guys did it. Please come and do it in my other place." And so we did. We did an event in the LGBT cafe. We had various churches involved because we invite people to come with us. And we had an amazing event there. We did it like with Brazilian music. And so we had a Brazilian band, yes, Brazil, playing on the streets. And people loved it. And we shared the gospel in that place. And that started a series of events that we did in this cafe. We have a friend who designed a beautiful New Testament. She's a designer, an artist, and she made amazing images with the New Testament. And she organized an exhibition in this cafe. She used to be an LGBT activist, and she met Jesus. And so she came and she did this exhibition in the cafe. And it was there for a whole month. So for a whole month, there were New Testaments on the walls of this cafe with this artwork. And when we went to pick up the artwork at the end of the period that it was there to be on exhibition, we couldn't find the Bibles. There were a number of them that were missing. And so she asked, "Hey," the owner of the cafe, "hey, do you know where the Bibles are?" I said, "Oh, I'm really sorry. People kept taking the Bibles." And we're like, "Wow, that's great." And next thing we knew, we noticed that the girl behind the bar was reading one of them. And so we're like, "That's great. You can keep that." And so God has opened amazing doors in places that you wouldn't expect when we're willing to go, get to know the culture, be present, connect, be bold to share the gospel, even in places like that, and be willing to walk with people in the more long term with Bible studies in parks and cafes and universities. We have a community house in Wrocław where those relationships can happen as well. And you might have noticed in a video talking about this Bible study called Who Am I, which has been a great tool as well to connect with young people. And I'll end with this last story, and then I'll open for questions. In this Bible study, one day we had Michael and his friend Pavel come to the Bible study. And we had met them doing one of our street evangelism actions. And Michael here came along. And when he walked in, he said, "I've never come to something like this. I've always been curious as to what the Bible says. And I'm just here to find out more. I don't know." He was very honest up front. He said, "I've never done this before. I'm really curious to hear what you guys are talking about." And Bogdana on the far left there is from Ukraine. And she's part of our team. And she came over to the guys and she was trying to welcome them. "Hey, how are you doing? Where are you from?" And Michael goes, "I'm from Russia." And so my wife was there with her and just watched to see what was going on, because it's super hard for Ukrainians when they, you know, Ukrainians and Russians are meeting in Poland. Often that's hard. It's hard to know how to deal with that. And Bogdana, so she's watching Bogdana, and Bogdana just opens a big smile and she goes, she goes, "Wow, I'm so glad you're here." "Thanks for coming." And she goes, "We have a meal in our house this weekend. I'd love you to come and join us." So he goes, takes part in the Bible study, and he goes the next weekend to their home. And it was Easter weekend. And all the Polish young guys and girls had gone to their families for Easter. And so they ended up with a meal time around the community house, around the table, with Ukrainians, Belarusians, and Russians having an Easter meal together. And they read the scripture about who Jesus is and why he died on the cross. And then they decided to take this picture. I think they were trying to do a Last Supper picture. But they had amazing conversations and relationships. And Michael is still with us today. He goes to the Bible study every week. And the gospel is powerful to break down every barrier, to go to every heart, to cross the barriers of secular culture. And when we're willing to go to people, really connect with them, be bold to share the gospel and make disciples by starting the day we meet them and inviting them into a community, into a relationship. We see God do amazing things. And many of these guys and girls who meet Jesus that way become the best frontline missionaries for this generation because they come from that and they know exactly how to keep going and reaching their friends. We have one girl in our team who came to Jesus through one of these events, and she made a sign that says, "An action like this changed my life, ask me why." And she just goes and sits in the park and talks to people that way. But it's just so cool to see how when somebody meets Jesus that way and they're discipled in their own context, how they're able to reach out and reach others. It's all based around these six values I told you about that we teach at the Mission School. We try to keep it simple. We believe a missionary movement for this generation can be marked by prayer, by seeking God, by preaching the cross, by being relevant to the culture around us, by being holy in dark places, by having courage to step outside our comfort zone, and by creating community and family for people who are not ready to walk into a church.